Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, if a person came forward for salvation tonight, and if I had a word of knowledge, and I said, God shows me you're living in adultery. Person you're living with, you aren't even married to. You're shacking up with them. You're a sinner. If they heard the gospel correctly, that wouldn't keep them from getting saved. It would drive them towards salvation. They would say, that's the reason I need Jesus to forgive me. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they would go ahead and receive salvation. Isn't that true? But let a Christian come forward. And all I got to do is have a word of knowledge and say, you didn't read your daily Bible readings today. You had a wrong thought 30 years ago. Just pinpoint the slightest little thing and the average Christian, oh, now I know why God's not going to move in my life. Consider the unjustness of that. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving as ye have been taught. That means the same way that you receive salvation is the same way you receive healing or deliverance or joy or peace or anything else. How did you get saved? Was it because you had been fasting and praying and studying the Word? Was it because you had been living holy and you came forward and said, God, I've lived so holy now, save me. No, you came and humbled yourself and received it as a gift. And that's how you got born again. But then, when it comes to healing, you don't come with the same attitude. Oh God, have mercy on me. I receive it as a gift. In the name of Jesus, I receive. No, it's, oh God, I've been fasting and praying and I'm living holy and now you move in my life because I deserve it. That's not walking by the same rule. That's the reason that it was so easy for you to get saved and so hard for you to be healed. Technically speaking, it is much easier to be healed than it is to be saved. The healing of your body is nothing. You know, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 2. He was teaching, and this is where they let the man down through the roof. They took the tiles off and they let the man down through the roof. And Jesus looked at him and he says, son, your sins be forgiven you. And of course, all the religious Pharisees says, who's this man that forgives sins? You can't forgive sins. So Jesus turned around and he says, which is easier to say? Your sins be forgiven you or take up your bed and walk? That's a question. Which is easier to say? Not which is easier to do. Which is easier to say? It's easier to say your sins be forgiven you. Because you can't prove whether anything happened. You can't see a sin and you can't see when that sin is forgiven. So as far as just saying something, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say take up your bed and walk. Because if you say that and the man isn't healed, then it's obvious that it didn't work. So it's actually harder to say be healed than it is to say be forgiven. And then Jesus said, but so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then turned he to the sick of the palsy and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. In other words, he did that which was hardest to prove. If he can do the hardest, he can do that which is easier. If you can do the greater, you can do the less. You know, if I could jump from here all the way to the back of this auditorium, then I can guarantee you I could jump from here to the front seat. But if I can't jump from here to the front seat, you would be safe to place a bet that I couldn't jump from here to the back of the auditorium. If I can't do that which is least, I can't do that which is greatest. But if I can do that which is greatest, then I can do something less. And so the Lord said, be healed. And this man was instantly healed. So, taking Jesus' own example, did you know that forgiving a person of their sins is really the greatest thing? It's not the hardest to say, but it's actually the hardest to do, because only God can forgive sins. And if you received the forgiveness of sins when you hadn't fasted, you hadn't prayed, you hadn't studied the Word, you weren't living holy, you didn't deserve a thing, and you came and just threw yourself on the mercy of God, no, Father, please forgive me for Jesus' sake. And you received the greatest miracle of salvation, then it ought to be relatively easy to get healed. But the reason that it's the opposite in most people's life is because when it came to salvation, you didn't trust yourself. You came singing the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." And your faith was totally in a Savior. But now that you're saved, your faith is in how good you've been living. And God, I'm going to church and I'm doing everything. And now heal me because of look what I've done. If you were to have come forward and said, "God, heal me because I'm living holier than I ever had," you wouldn't have ever gotten saved. That's the reason you aren't being healed. And that's the reason you aren't having joy and aren't having peace, is because you're trying to earn it instead of receiving it. In your life, mercy and truth haven't ever met. Righteousness and peace haven't kissed each other. You are still trying to obtain it on your own instead of getting it through Jesus. Boy, this is major what I'm saying. It's major. And the vast majority of the body of Christ doesn't understand this. They will either preach the holiness of God, you got to be holy, you got to do all of these things, or they'll preach that God is just a God of mercy and grace, and it's like He can do anything He wants to. And they don't ever reconcile these two apparent opposites. Man, there's a lot in the Word of God. Let me share one last passage of Scripture with you. I know I've been talking a long time, but look at this in Hebrews chapter 12. I know that somebody's been thinking of this verse. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 14 it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord." Boy, people will use this verse often and say, "You got to be holy. If you aren't holy, you can't see the Lord." And they will extrapolate from that much more than just seeing the Lord. You can't receive from the Lord. You can't have God move in your life. You can't have peace with God. You can't have a relationship with God. You got to be holy, holy, holy. God is holy, so therefore you be holy. Look at this in context. Let me show you what this is really saying. Back up a few verses. He had just talked about the chastening of the Lord, and how that no chastening seems pleasant. Man, it's a tough experience. And so because of all of this, he says in verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." In other words, when a person is going through the chastening of the Lord, man, it can be discouraging. They need to be encouraged. I'm not going to teach on all of this, but the chastening of the Lord is not sickness and poverty and cancer and destruction and divorce. That's not the chastening of the Lord. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. But God can get on your case. I guarantee you, the Lord has spoken to me sometimes and told me, "I am not pleased with the way you're treating this person, with the way you responded." And I tell you, it's not encouraging. It's not pleasant. The Word of God is given for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God, when God speaks to you, He can chasten you. And so when you're chastened, we need to encourage those who have done something wrong and that God has shown them and that they're in the process of growing through something. That's what He's talking about in verse 12. "Lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees," verse 13, "and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled," and on and on. If you take this in its context, it's talking about your ministry to other people. Encourage people. Lift up the hands that hang down. And follow peace without which, and holiness with, if you don't have it, nobody's going to see the Lord. That's not talking about you seeing the Lord through you living holy. That's talking about you ministering to other people. If you aren't living a holy life, nobody's going to see the Lord in you. Nobody's going to be encouraged by you. Nobody's going to be drawn closer to the Lord if you're out here living in sin and having all of these problems. This isn't talking about that you have to be holy in order for God to see you or you to see God. That would be doing away with Jesus. You are holy through what Jesus did in your spirit, man. I'll be explaining that more this week. But this is talking about when you're ministering to other people, you got to walk in peace. You got to be holy. You got to live a godly life. Otherwise, they aren't going to see God in you. If you're telling somebody that they can be delivered from alcoholism or drug addiction, and yet you yourself are an alcoholic and a drug addict, they aren't going to see God in you. They aren't going to say, well, how do you sit here and tell me all of this? You're in bondage yourself. If you're telling a person about the great liberty and how God has set you free and you're just so happy and yet you're mean as a snake and you're bitter and you're depressed and discouraged, nobody's going to see God in you. They aren't going to be encouraged by you. You got to live holy, not in order for God to love you, because you receive right standing with God through Jesus and faith in what He did for you. But you've got to live holy so that your heart can be sensitive to God, and also as a witness so that people can see God in you. They need to see that there is a supernatural power that has set you free from the depression and the fear. We were talking earlier about the finances. Man, you ought to be able to give a testimony that our investments have gone up 61% or whatever it is, instead of when the world is losing 50 and 60% in the stock market and you're going up. That's a testimony that lets people see that there's something supernatural going on. You ought to have something that identifies you as being different. You ought to be able to tell the difference between you and a lost man. You're alive. They're dead. There ought to be a difference. I've been in churches before that were so dead that they had a guy die. They called 911 and they took out half the congregation before they found the dead person.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to call into our helpline, and you can not only get these products, which I really encourage you to do, because they'd be good for you, and it'd also be a great way for you to share these truths with someone else. So please get the products, but also these people that answer the phones are some super people, some very mature Christians. We get compliments and comments constantly from people who call in that they have never had the compassion, the love, the power of God demonstrated like through our helpline. You would really be blessed. So if this has touched you and you'd like some prayer or ministry, please call, and remember to get these products.